we'll get on with the open mic. And to kick us off, we have somebody by the name of Andrew Carroll.
This is called Similes for a Culture of Paraphernalia. Like claw cranes tormenting eccentric toys, like wind-up playthings piloted by mannequins, like cotton wool horses coursing through badlands of bogs. That's it. Thanks.
And now we have Mary O'Connell.
Thanks, Susie. This is called Job Loss. I think it's self-explanatory. The director's voice hammers in my head. We have no choice. We're letting people go. That's all that can be said. I gather up the folders as they begin to blur. Life's pattern starts to tear. My limbs like rubber as I move off to the car. Bad enough to lose the payslips that spiraled through my door. What price the commitment tied into my career? It has choked my soul. Caught up in the treadmill, I'd put my life on hold. Friends I didn't see, soulmates lost, the wonder of the senses crushed. I find myself pulled out of line, alone, a cast-off stitch in society's tight weave. Time stretches to a level end, featureless and bleak. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. And Charles Clark.
Port of a series of poems about Marion Square, Dublin. I have to point out that in the distant past, it wasn't unusual to find bits of Latin or even Greek or other foreign languages in the editorials of the Irish Times in the days of Orange Slavic. This is one. I picked it up from somewhere. And I have to translate it for you. But I have to have it in Latin originally. Iam proxime ardis vocalibo. And now nearest to Caliga is in flames. With the aim of the Second World War. The building was on fire, the glass of the window smashed. Firebombs thrown and the immense crowd ardent. The British Embassy was in flames. And an Irishman went to work next morning across the water feeling ashamed. Marion Square to me meant dingy waiting rooms and at number 49 an examination for the travelling studentship NUI, where I was in sporting parlance down the field, and could never expect to show my face again in my old college. Many years later, a friend launched a book in a magnificent room, piano nobile, nobly proportioned, and I sat in the front row thinking that Ireland had changed.
Thank you, Charles. Next we have Sir Ben Kingston.
I'm just going to explain a little bit of it from the first here. I wouldn't consider myself a very faithful person, but my grandfather who passed away recently was, and in kind of the shadow of that, I wanted to try and write a praise poem. So this is a praise poem based around the kind of, not even based, just kind of with the ideas of the church. So I hope you enjoy it. It's called The Branch. Surrounded by brothers, quick, strong growth, wisdom they let evade them. The lower, wiser, elder branches teach, hold fast to the light, be meek and lowly. Now and then the sun does shine, they grow out stretching, each learning their lessons. Gales mangle its limbs, strips its leaves, the flesh lies open, sap carried on the storm. Groans and weeps, hopelessly whipped about, earthly, profane, demonic, trials in the wilderness. First it mourns the basking light, mourns the nourishment of the rooted trunk, mourns the holy canvas, a refuge, agape, a shield to draw closer. Beasts of the earth come to test, birds nest, talons tightly grip, beaks dig, peck, carve holes, insects burrow deep, infect their larvae hatch, rodents crawl, peel, pick, and find their feast. It learns to bear its troubles without grief. Soil has cursed its form, death. Sorrow spills even in sun so fair. Even when the dark clouds evade in the sky, the sun's warming rays felt by none, it feels within the light which cannot be outshone. The branch now sings in the breeze of love, even in the night, it feels the light and knows it will rise again. It sings. Beloved light of the world, you give us strength. Fill us with grace, we desire your nourishment. O light, true nature, return. Thank you.
You missed this girl now.
Thanks, Ben. And now we have Bernadette Gallagher, please.
Untitled, In Memoriam, Peter Delaney. He is gone now. No more intense and intricate postcards. No more music from his guitar. No more phone calls. Your painting, Lyric Dawn, light colored walls, an opening that allows light to enter. A painting on that wall, a data rail of grey, a couch for two, taken up by a guitar. He is gone now, but in Lyric Dawn, he remains. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernadette and Patricia Walsh next.
Point a quote by George Orwell. He says, war is not meant to be won, it's meant to be continuous. So this is called To Be Continued. Everybody wants their cedar tree win. Like jaundiced nationalism coming to fore, in spite of what happens, a jingoistic massacre is all that remains, sinking into resuscitation. Lack paper serviettes, swing the opinion. Others enjoy thinking beyond the box. Selling nothing outside, farmers on their knees, border controls laughed at refugee status. Zionist train stops irregularly. Detailing massacres were not recorded. Double acts of prison and a bullet. Twin egos have supported the backless fight. Counting on the abacus of arrogance. Peace in the same pods shine darkly. Pouring types to cover up the small smell of rotten fruits strung upon infinite republic. fumbling in a greasy till, matching Sterling with a surreptitious grin, typing books condolence to an emancipation, at whose expense is never declared. Memory sticks up his nose on progress, sounding fake as it is, disgraced perihelion. Understanding was an artist, sadness permitting, thrown games picking at nostalgic carcass. Thank you.
I'm not sure how to read this name. I think it's Unda Norton. Is it Unda?
No.
Linda. I'm sorry, I just can't read. Linda. Linda Norton, who will also be reading at the Sound Eye Festival. So if you like this, you should get yourself to that.
This is for Maggie, because I love that reading, and actually I love all the readings that I heard tonight. And there was so much that Maggie talked about that is part of what I read about. This is called Screenshot, and the idea is that being a mother is not quite the meekness that we were trained to aspire to. So, we see crucifixions every day now because of the internet. And so I was thinking about the history of lynching in the United States, which is not history, it's the present, it happens all the time. And I was thinking also about the Syrian women and all the women we see. And this goes to just what you said, war being a continuous state. It starts with it's a short poem. It starts with an epigraph from Eileen Miles. What would be the point in seeing a girl nude and nailed up? Where's the contradiction? Could that drive a culture forever, for 2,000 years? No way. Female suffering must be hidden, or nothing can work. It's a man's world, and a girl on a cross would be like seeing an animal in a trap. Actually, he did not want to sacrifice himself. An hour before he died, he tried to get off the cross, but was caught on a nail no one remembers. And his mother, I saw her slap a centurion so hard he fell on his back. She clawed his neck, drawing blood. They grabbed her and pulled her robe up in the back and shoved her in the dirt. She got up spitting and tore the cloth across her chest, exposing her breasts. They laughed. She was bleeding between her legs, too. Where her blood fell, nothing grew. When her son died, she screamed so hard, one of her eyes popped out of its socket. You never hear about this part. You always see her dressed in blue. That's also not true. Thanks.
Thank you, Linda. And now we have Cedric Bicombe.
This one is titled Forward. Rebuilding the unbroken, one brick at a time, bended, fold after fold, onto itself, until its essence can no longer be defined by its form. A self-sufficient existence, lone and whole, refined, molded, polished, until it picks up the movement, perfect, unique, spinning, self-defining, in constant evolution, timeless, finally useless.
Cheers, Cedric, and now we have Liam Anderson, please.
I'm Claire, this is an art part of culture, right? And it's spoken word, so I need to use the music. So I'll just put a custom mic.
Yeah.
was restarted. Many years, I was caught up in bondage to sin. I was so deep in fact, I thought I never would. But Jesus was sent to the cross as a lamb to save me from damnation, temptation. He was my salvation, my justification, and my situation. He broke my chains, and now I'm free from my bondage to slavery to sin. Christ helped me win the noble power of sin. The nails were my sins, piercing the King of Kings. The cross was my shame, holding the name above all names. I'm far from perfect, but He says I'm worth it. Every day I'm fighting the things of this flesh. And then I realize it needs to be more of God and less of me. These temptations are battles that I face every day. I could say, ah, screw it, I blew it. But I know my God is with me, and He gives me strength every day. He's there when I fail. But He doesn't remind me of my past. He doesn't remind me of my past. But He shows me a future with Him everlast. God never called us to be sinless, but rather He called us to sinless. And we can never be perfect. But to Him, we are as perfect as a spotless man, if I just believe. My soul was torn from temptation to drink and to porn. I felt worn, and I had sworn not to give in. Sin, but I was hooked on life, living for now, not living for Christ. But God's quite helped in many ways, from DMCs to friends trying to tear my ties, to XXX Church and Covenant ties, I tried to win. And it's a long hard road when you feel alone, but just open up 1 Peter 5, 8-10, and you'll see your brothers and sisters are like you. It's true. I thought people would skin my hide when they saw us inside. But I just kept talking to the moment I cried. His blood that was shed from his side, from his head, made me alive to his Christ, and now to sin I am dead. His cleansing flows made me know that I am as white as snow. Because my sin is dead, I am alive. For if we die to sin, we are alive in Christ. A new creation comes that God sees as perfect. Jesus died, but He rose again. For me, for you, for our sins to come, for our sins before, and so many more. And there's nothing we can do to deserve it. For the Lord of Lords and the spotless Lamb, He did it for us, so that those who believe would not perish and live forever with Him. Trust Him, seek Him. What have you got to lose? Nothing. What have you got to gain? Everything. We live here, but this is not our home. God is always with us, Emmanuel, we are never alone. Soon we will be going to our forever home, without heaven or hell, besides soon. Since He may come any day, He is ready for you to be ready every day. He was born as a man, became a king, died as a savior, rose as a victor. As a man, He faced trials and temptations, but unlike us, He never gave in. And because of that, He can help us win and overpower sin. Born as a man, became a king. Died as a hero and rose as a savior. Trust Him. Fall in Him. He who knocks will receive an answer. What have you got to lose? This is the gospel. God our sins, paying everyone's life. That's right. God paid the price for our sins, paying everyone's life. He took the debt we couldn't pay. He paid the price for everyone's life. This is the story of God, of Christ. It's not my story, it's not history, but rather it's His story, for His glory.
Thanks, Liam. And now we have Philip Spillane.
Out. So I actually have another poem, but it's not finished, but I'll read it out next week probably. This one I read out about 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to read it out again. with a bit more background. So I actually have autism and I have Asperger's, and sometimes you know a lot of things, you think a lot, and you're into an art, and you know a lot about that art, but you're not in that art. You don't know how to write, you don't know, you don't make movies, but yet you know a lot about movies, if you can understand. And sometimes that makes you feel very fake. And I tried to depict that in a poem. And it's really hard to describe, but you sometimes just feel so fake, you know? Like, I'm into paganism, I love witchcraft, but I don't practice witchcraft. There's some flaw in there somewhere, you know? Well, yeah, it's probably good then. But anyway, so this is called the fake poem. Hope you like it. Fake poem. There's a stone circle inside my head. There's a she warning inside my heart. There's a muse speaking in my voice. There's a dragon sleeping in my veins. There's no elk walking in my shadow. There's a mare listening as she's in my dreams. There's no stone circle inside my head. It's a fake urban one, a construction of plastic prop. There's a she warning inside my heart. It's beaking, knocking heavy on my breast. There's a muse speaking in my voice. It hurts and sends me crying. There's a dragon awake in my veins. It breathes on my anger written on my face. There's no elk walking in my shadow. She was killed by the mare, a blood red arrow pierced in her albino chest. There's no stone circle inside my head. There's something else inside of you. Shanabel, I think of you. Thank you.
And now we have Benjamin Burns.
All right.
That's right. The moment, the blur, music, sweat, alcohol, hope. Our legs hang in the air after the dance, ghosts. In the glow of night, hawkish blue eyes, a flock of goldfinches trill paradise. Our nerves spark on contact, flighty as the night we are lost in time that we make happen, unravel.
Thank you. And Rosalind Blue. Oh.
Well, I had a trip over the weekend, well, last week, the previous one, to Galway, which I enjoyed very much, just for a night and half a day. And then I set up a caravan sale on the Sunday after, at a stall, which was a nice market. And on Monday I woke up to this. Vertigo. Every step takes a conscious effort. Foot down, heel first. Then roll over to toes, slight gait, lift heel, roll over to toes, repeat. Keeping the eyes peeled firmly on the road, hands spread, balancing to hold a steady line. Drunken without drink, hungover without poison. Daring to raise a glance, just to feel the world turn. Brain twirling in its juices, knowing no up and down. Mind and stomach spinning, spinning. Steady, steady now. Head down, eyes peeled, to find the lines of balance. Hands spread, slight gait, refocus the mind. Foot down, heel first, roll over to toes. Drunken without drink, hungover without poison. shamed by a brain unsteady, looking down to the ground, evading the taunting frowns of unforgiving public eyes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sue. And now we have Robbie Urquhart.
No.
And Max.
I do have to move the books.
I'm in the Sport Act. I think I am. Okay, so myself and Rab play music sometimes, and I wrote a song from the Sport in the past.
Well, I'm not playing that one.
I was informed we're doing another. So just bear with me, this is a mother song in September. And I do a lead into Rab.
You brush past my lips with a rush. You glide in a sidestep to dodge by. You dodge to and from embraces abruptly. Dust my cheek with a stuff, let's settle brush.
Sorry.
When once your whole form lived within me, your crumbles move softly to my breast. Busy brisk now with independence, but still draw down my broad shoulder your troubled kiss. So proud of you when I look at you. My little baby is 6 foot 2, or is it 6 foot 4? Can't catch up with you any now. You're a big guy now, hey, you need your space. Don't vanish, keep giving up the traces, cause I know this kind of love, it's not enough.
We're into
nowhere. Well, I remember myself, little face, in a golden cloud of fluff. You're your own one now, you're the same for the world, God knows, this love's not enough. So walk away, instead of just tearing slow. When I watch you back, no matter where you gotta go. But no, this kind of love, it was your first. Just walk away, hey, just take it slow. Well, I'll watch your back, no matter where. You gotta know the
deal.
It's kind of love, it's kind of love. Only the girl, it's kind of love, it's kind of love.
We both know it's kind of love, it's kind of love.
You are great, Matt, but thank you for more practice.
I need more practice.
You only get stuck with these facts, everybody.
I need more practice.
You really. No, you're lovely, you're lovely.
My guitar can't sit behind me, Luke.
Thanks a million, lads, that was great. So now we have Standing Notch.
Same thing was that follow us.
Just don't swing around. Right, I think I know this poem, but I'm not 100% sure, so I'm going to put on my glasses and have the notes there just in case. I was looking for a title for this one for ages, and I've landed on a Take That song title. It's called Never Forget. Gary Barlow would be fucking distraught, but that's another story. History shows adventure and freedom often comes at equal price. Many a Viking crusader or freedom fighter will, among tales of tacking and dolphins and deadly danger, recall loved ones left behind or fallen comrades. The price of bravery, or maybe greed. The men and women of 1916 owned many such a tale, some are long forgotten, some were never told, many more. Stilled in sepia-soaked images sit silent in ancient homes, drawers and landfills. Those images were once lucid events in the minds of Irish citizens, as lucid perhaps as the as the tales that fill out papers and congest on modern webs, tales of broken promises, puppet politicians, a monopolised media, minefields of mindless manifestos, tales we should never forget. Tales of special advisers for whom the salary cap was too small. Tales of our territory stupidly terrorised by austerity. Tales of elected representatives from every corner of this island practising the same old election echolalia. I promise. I promise. I promise. I promise. I promise. I promise. Which forces me to practice what they view as echolalia, but I see as a necessary and adequate response. So I should have forewarned you, need a bit of audience interaction here. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. Keep the recovery going. Fuck you. Lots done, much more to do. Fuck you. We won't close the hospitals. Fuck you. We care about the ordinary man. Fuck you. And then there's the tales of businessmen and business deals garbed in brown envelopes. And where are we gone? The brain's gone. Tales of ordinary men forgotten, working families without a home. Teenage boys so stressed they seek freedom at the bottom of the river or in the barrel of a gun. Is it this for democracy the rebels rose? Was this the ultimate gain? Was a government free of empathy, compassion, understanding really their ultimate goal? Were they not emphatically clear when on the steps of the GPO they declared the Irish Republic guarantees civil and religious liberty, equal rights and equal opportunities for all its citizens? Such noble words ring hollow when tales of bankers laughing on the phone at us, I say, not those we elected, are met with stony silence in Leinster House. Feckless lackadaisy in the fraud squad, indefinite inaction in the courts. Yet those noble words remained enshrined in the proclamation on which we launched the state. And those words remained enshrined and active in many, many an Irish heart. Hearts that cry equality, a future for our children. You can shove your water charges up your fucking arse. And there, right there, is the rebel blood that brought us freedom. There, right there, is the rebel blood that still lives in Dublin, Belfast, Cork and Donegal and brings hope to us all. Hope that one day the elite will be told the system you cannot beat and pay a fair share of tax so those that lack can live the life promised by people who envision their people free from foreign hands and equal in every way, on every inch of this land. Yes, some tales we must remember, some tales we must never forget, for it is in these we dress our votes.
Cheers, Dan, and the last up on the open mic tonight is Christy Parker. You're going to make us laugh, Christy.
I don't know, I'll make it cry. It's great to see,
I've been there for a while, but it's good to see that the standard has been maintained in my absence. A lot of uplifting poetry here, and introspective and reflective stuff, and angry stuff, which is very, very good, very impressive. So I'm going to read a poem here, it's about a toilet. I should have got that first. See, I'm a local journalist as well, the Brisbane Nationalist as well, but that of my work in Valspot. Council meetings and stuff like that, you know. Around this time of the year, councils begin to crap themselves because of the state of the toilets in the towns, as the visitors are coming to see. And the Yanks with their fat asses and stuff like that need somewhere comfortable to sit. In the old days, nobody really worried too much about things like that, even talk about toilets. In the main street near where I live, it was a fantastic toilet. It was kind of a men's and a female thing, you know, the same block, if you like, you know. And then one day, about 10 years ago, I came out and it was gone. As the toilet had been demolished, it was just lying there on a pile of stones. And this is the story of what I saw and what I thought of when I'm seeing that. And it's basically an ode to the missing toilet. I got an up in my throat, I'm sorry. I was brought up using that toilet. Then we got our own in the house and we didn't use it. It's called A Farewell Flush. To lose is always bad. To lose dejects us all. But to lose is extra sad, as happened here in Gaul. Well, let me say, departed friends, your names will always rank up there with canons, deans, and mayors, whom people ought to thank. For as I pour upon the stones which are your grave of rubble, I think of all the welcomes that you gave to men in trouble. Your doorway from a distance gave much cause for jubilation to all who hurried on the street in growing desperation. Your weeping walls gave sanctuary to men as fear subsided, and no pressure did you bring to bear if we were undecided. And standing there as men in line, we could review our plans, for once inside your walls we knew that we were in safe hands. More than just a precious need, you are a meeting place where punters could exchange their views before the next horse race, where woe was shared with those who cared, where joy was celebrated, where crooked trainers, tight bookmakers, and bent jockeys were berated. Your place was where a criminal could stand beside a guard and be his equal for a while, at least in one regard. Your ground was where Cork's hurling fans over a hot urinal would take their piss from Waterford after the Munster final. And often when life's hectic flow caused us to ventilate, you had the loveliest cubicles where a man could meditate and pass away a peaceful hour in search of peace of mind before emerging with a smile and his problems left behind. We remember all those visitors that made you the council blush and the deep despair that filled the air on days you wouldn't flush. Times too when busloads called and you were on a roll with 40 watt bulbs, new stainless steel and bleach in every bowl. And the ladies had their place next door that gave them solace too, where they discussed what's what and why and when and, of course, who. And though I never saw inside, I saw without a doubt they breathed far more easily as soon as they came out. But they've murdered you for a super loo, expecting it to thrive for the purists and the tourists, assuming they arrive. But I hear as well, though time will tell, it would only hold one man, so the social call to face the wall is going down the pan. There's talk of paper, soap, hot water, and an aromatic smell, and for 50 cents this purity might wipe your bum as well. But will it give you a helping hand, or will it see me drown, if the walls rise above my thighs while I am sitting down? Ah, oh, as I mourn, you faithful friend, I give that place a miss. But I won't take cash to have it slash off the years of your free piss. No, I must go or I will burst, but I say I'm bended knee. Thanks for being where I was wean, and may you rest in peace.